Will you please join me in prayer? Living Lord God, apart from you, there is no life. Without your Spirit, there is no understanding. Without your presence, we are alone. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, O God, that we may see with the eyes of faith, that we may hear with ears tuned to the gospel, that we may become energized, renewed in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, members of Grace Church and associates, members of the Institute, faculty and students, and guests and visitors, it is indeed a privilege to be here together with you. And I'm struck, whenever I come here, I'm struck by our gathering. Twice a year, the phantom community called IWS, dispersed and spread throughout North America and beyond, joins this flesh and blood congregation called Grace Church, and we come together to celebrate good news. And it seems that whenever we get together, the Spirit of God moves and worship sparks fly and the spiritual juices begin to flow again. How I look forward twice a year to come to this place. And I know many of you do likewise. Tonight, however, I find delight in gathering with you because I have been asked to speak good news to all of us. And I do so with a very deep awareness that each one of us carries into this sanctuary an invisible bag with hopes and dreams, but also with many fears and hurts and disappointments. The journey of faith is filled with potholes. It can be tough at times. I know, for I'm a pastor of many people, a pastor theologian called to serve the people of God with the good news, reminding them that Jesus Christ is Lord of all of life, seeking to spread the influence of Christ into our communities and world. Now, some of you here at Grace Church are battle-weary from defending the orthodoxy of the Christian faith. Others here have been struggling with issues ranging from intense loneliness to broken relationships to shattered dreams and goals in life. Again, some of you have come here tonight with burdens of worship ministry, and you are desperately in need of a break and some new perspective, perhaps. Coming to this place is like coming to an oasis for you, a place to rest and find rest. Some of us, however, are in the midst of a crisis, perhaps, the loss of a job, the alarming medical test and diagnosis you just heard from your doctor before you came to this place. And some of us recently may have lost a spouse, a close family member or friend. Coming to this place for you is like coming to a hospital or nursery, a place for treatment and healing and nurture. Now, all of these things have gone through my mind as I received this phone call from Jim Hart about 8 or 10 days ago. He asked me to speak for this gathering. And in my prayers, I said, Lord, what am I going to say to that diverse group of people? And the Lord said, tell them to keep on singing. Jim mentioned to me in passing that June 8 is on the eve of the feast of Saint Columba. Did you know that? Saint Columba. And the lectionary readings, as we learned, are from Deuteronomy and 2 Corinthians and from the Gospel of Luke. I checked the passages. I read about Saint Columba and I said, Lord, what am I going to do with all of this? And the Lord said, just tell them, keep on singing. Tell them to keep on living out of the story of the rule of God's kingdom in our world. Keep on singing. You see, I began to ponder the song of Moses in Deuteronomy. It's a song that celebrates the rule of God as the Israelites are ready to enter the promised land of God. That is the land of Canaan. And then I read about Paul's apologetic speech, which is really a lament or song of weakness, where Paul boasts of God's power and kingdom rule in the life of Paul as he faces all kinds of hardship and trouble in his journeys. And then I read the Gospel of Luke. And I learned that the rule of God had just broken into the life of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who was known for ripping off people. When Jesus entered Zacchaeus' house, his personal space, by inviting himself into Zacchaeus' house, Zacchaeus was moved to the core of his being. And he repented, we learn from scriptures, and he promised to give half of his possessions to the poor and to pay back four times the amount to anyone he had ripped off. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that what is lost. Now, it's at that very point that we read about the expectations of the Jews that Jesus would restore the kingdom of God, perhaps as it was in the days of King David or the glory days of King Solomon. Listen to the text. Jesus went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. The people had a dream. Let the nation of Israel be restored again and be free to govern itself. Let the anointed one of God, called the Messiah, the Christ, take over and rule in Jerusalem. Let this Jesus become our political, our national savior. But Jesus corrected theirs and our expectations by telling a parable. And the parable foreshadows not Jesus' political rule as king in Jerusalem. Rather, the story foreshadows Jesus' resurrection and ascension as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In this story, the Lord Jesus helps us to understand his rule as sovereign Lord. And Jesus helps us understand our role as servants of the King. The entire parable serves to underscore and encourage Jesus' followers to be faithful in their stewardship of all God's gifts. Jesus calls us to persevere. Come on, use those talents. Never lose sight of the day when Jesus comes again. And when he comes and asks for an accounting of our deeds. That's why I say that Jesus calls us to keep on singing. He calls us to keep on living the story of God's sovereign influence in our lives until he comes again and makes all things new. Let me explain. By using the Bible's sweeping scope of God's mighty acts throughout history, We will move from creation to fall to redemption or deliverance to new creation. And as we gather here tonight as pilgrims on the way to the promised land of a restored, renewed creation, I invite you to listen carefully and to keep on singing the song of God's reign in our lives. The Bible declares with confidence that God created the earth by way of sound waves. Ever thought about that? That is, God spoke vibrating energy, saying, "Let there be." And by His word, things came into being. The sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, the mountains, the trees, the rocks, the creatures of the earth, they all came forth and gave glory to their King when God issued His royal decree, chanting His creation song, "Let there be." Do you know that every living thing, rocks and stones included, give off vibration? Scientists who explore the universe can measure unseen objects in faraway galaxies by way of radio waves. Ages ago, God spoke the stars into being, and these very same stars give off their vibrations today. They sing in response to God's creation chant, "Let there be." Do you remember God speaking to Job? "Where were you, Job, when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone, while the morning stars chanted or sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy?" Do you remember? Scientists today will contend that creation or matter is nothing more than vibrating threads of energy. They think that you and I are the human organization of dancing energy. Well, the scriptures are even more revealing, I submit. When God spoke in the beginning, He did so through His word, His eternal Son, the Logos, the Lord Jesus. I know that boggles the mind, but it explains God, Paul's word to the church in Colossae. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. All of creation then hums and vibrates. All of creation chants and echoes the glory of God, the Creator King. Ah, the glory of God, our King. This is our story, our song. Take a peek in that throne room vision found in Revelation chapter 4. There we find the entire population of the invisible realm called heaven bowing before the King. There are the living creatures, the 24 elders, the heavenly host. They lay down their crowns before the throne of God, saying or chanting, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." Why? "For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." You see, God is our King. To Him belongs this world and universe, and we too belong to Him. Never forget to live out of this story, this truth. Always keep on singing the story of God, our Creator King. Well, I know. Sometimes it's hard to sing. You feel like weeping, weighed down by sin and misery, including the sorrow of death. We find ourselves groaning and moaning, complaining and lamenting. We can join the psalmist crying out, saying, "How long, O Lord, how long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" You see, when sin entered the world and our lives, the darkness of misery came over us, and the wages of sin led to death and dust for all. Not even creation itself was exempt from the darkness of sin, for Scripture says that the creation was subjected to frustration in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. What happened, you say? Sin invaded God's world and our lives. Death, like a shroud, has covered us ever since the tempter corrupted Adam's and Eve's and our own hearts. Sin has rattled and shaken the rule of God in our lives. The power of sin has made slaves of humanity, a power so strong that no one could break it, no one but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus has broken that power. Thank God. Even though the powers of sin, Satan, and death undermine God's kingdom and rule in our world, the story does not end there. The song of creation and the lament of fall into sin and death is followed by the victory song of redemption or deliverance in Jesus Christ. Throughout history, we see glimpses of God's powerful influence or reign at work in our broken world. For example, when God rescued the Israelites from Pharaoh's claws, from that house of bondage, by parting the Red Sea, Moses and the Israelites, what did they do? They sang a song. "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." In this song, Moses and the Israelites acknowledged that God is sovereign king and able to rescue his people. And later, when God sent his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world, preaching and bringing the rule of God into our lives, God's people have begun to sing another stanza, praising the Lamb of God for dying on our behalf, for rising from the dead that we may live, for ascending into heaven that we may be ruled by his word and spirit, and for promising us that he will come again in glory and take us to be with him forevermore. That's the gospel story from which and out of which we live. Listen then again to the music found in Revelation 5. Listen to the living creatures in the heavens singing to the Lamb sitting on the throne. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." You know, my friends, the story of creation, fall, and deliverance or redemption is our story. And tonight I encourage all of us here to live out of that story, to keep on singing praise to God, our Creator, Redeemer, King. The disciples of Jesus did. Most of them lost their lives in the service of Christ, the King. The Apostle Paul did. Yes, sir, he did. He endured troubles and hardship and all kinds of misery for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of spreading the influence of God's kingdom in our world. And so did all the heroes of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11. They kept on singing the song and living out of the story of the Christian faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Saint Columba did. In 563 AD, he left Ireland with 12 companions and established a community on the island of Hy, which later was called Iona, off the west coast of Scotland. There, Columba established a ministry of Christian discipline and worship, a monastery. And from there, Columba traveled to all kinds of places in the northern hemisphere of Europe. Historians described him as a great open-air preacher, an able organizer, and something of a poet. And this may be of interest to Lester Ruth, our Wesleyan. He's also been referred to as a kind of 6th century John Wesley. Saint Columba. Amen. A lot more things went on before John Calvin and Luther, isn't it? Of one thing we can be sure, Columba did not have an easy life. But that's never the point with followers of Christ Jesus. It's not about us. It's about the spreading of the story of God's rule. It's about Christ, the King of Kings. It's about embracing the story of God's rescue mission, of living the story of God's influence in our world, making all things new. Here's the good news. There will come a day when Jesus the King will indeed make all things new. He will wipe away tears. No more sorrow. No more sickness. No more fear. No more loneliness. And no more broken lives. Whether you are battle-weary by conflicts and arrows of sin and Satan, or whether you are energized by God's most recent blessings in your life, tonight I encourage you to keep on singing the song of God's rule in our world. Keep on singing. Yes, in this sanctuary, which for some of us here is an oasis tonight, and for others an hospital or nursery, I invite you to come to rest. Embrace the spoken living word of God. Eat the bread. Drink the cup. And offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And in the days to come, the Lord Himself will strengthen us to use our talents, to do His bidding, and to sing His song. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. It's printed in your leaflet. Together.